Hey everyone, I'm going to break into the show here really quick. Today is May the 10th, it's Mother's Day. I wanted to say Happy Mother's Day to everyone. This show has been recorded for exactly a week today with vacation and the difficulty in editing a four-person show. It's taken a lot longer to get done than Oni and I had planned, but here it is. It's available, it's ready to you. Also, we had not picked the music when we finished the show, and I wanted to let you know that today's music comes from the album Putumayo Presents World Lounge. The opening song is from an artist called Jasmone. The song is Dim Danana. And the closing song on today's show is Hamid Borodi. The song is called Trance Dance. As usual, you will be able to find all that information in the show notes. Hello and welcome. This is Pagan Spirituality Today, episode number 10. I'm your host, Kveldrida. Today is May the 3rd. It's a Sunday. It's been a gorgeous day here in Western Washington. We had rain early this morning, but we took a trip out to the beach and it turned out to be gorgeous. And for a change, I am not alone in the studio tonight. I have a full couch of people in front of me. I'm going to introduce them to you in just 1 second, but first, I just wanted to let you all know that I have a couple of new friends on Pagan Space and on Facebook. I received another response to my inquiry about true ghost stories. I have two. I'd like to get a few more in if I can. So folks, if you've been holding back till the last minute, this is it. Please send in your ghost stories. An MP3 file, 2 minutes or less in duration, or an email, and I'll read it on the show. That's going to be coming up in about a month, 6 weeks at the latest. Please get your topics, your discussions, your letters in. Beyond that, nothing else has changed with the show. The numbers continue to go up. I've been overwhelmed, really. Pleased is not a strong enough word. With the response that I've had, I've been getting a lot of good email, but I'm not going to share any email today because I have 3 guests with me and I want to spend my time with them. So without further ado, we're going to go right into tonight's show. I am joined by Oni, my wife, that you have all met before.
Hello, everyone.
And I'm also joined by a couple, 2 dear friends of ours, Golden Bird Rising.
Hello.
And Ivaldi.
Hello.
By the way, for those of you who are fans of my Ma and Pa podcast, Pagan Parents on the Edge, Ivaldi is Erwin's brother. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad to be a famous sibling now?
I'm honored.
What's Jimmy Carter's brother's name? That one nobody can remember? Billy Carter. Yes, you're the Billy Carter of the podcasting world. Very exciting to be famous for someone else.
My 15 minutes are here, finally.
Could be half an hour.
Very much
We have a little more time tonight. I wanted to introduce these folks, and I've been trying to figure out how am I going to do an About Me show. How can I tell you, the listener, more about my story? But every time I try to approach this topic, I get a little hinky on the whole thing. And I know that's not a technical term, but I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to share. So I've forced this panel of people in here to help me. They're going to tell their stories. I'm going to tell my story. And I think you will get a fuller, better picture. And by the way, Golden Bird Rising, who I will refer to as Golden Bird from now on, and Ivaldi are going to join me on some future shows. So I thought it was important you kind of knew where they were coming from. And of course, Oni's been with me before, and she's going to be with me again. So I'm going to throw out a first question, and whoever feels ready to answer that one, go ahead and pipe up. So how long have you been a pagan? I'm going to force my wife, Oni, to be first on this one.
All right. I've technically been a pagan since 1992. That's when I joined an eclectic Wiccan coven. But prior to that point, when I was in high school and college, I was interested in tarot cards, and magical things, and nature in general. So I guess that would mean I've been a pagan for about 17 years, if you go from the 1992 point.
Right, from the point that you were officially labeled a pagan, 17 years.
Yes.
Wow, it's a long time.
Since that time, I had left the coven that I had been in and formed a coven on my own, well, with my first husband, and then we formed a coven.
Right.
Many years ago.
That was years ago. It's been quite a while, actually. So who's next? Who else wants to talk?
Evaldi and I have been pagans for exactly the same amount of time.
That's right.
To the day.
That's exactly. It's been just over 11 years now, I think, for us. So we're very pleased with the entire time that we have been pagans. It's been a wonderful step in our lives, and I can't really imagine my life any other way now.
Exactly. I feel the same way, by the way. And my listeners, you know I've said about 20 years. I think this is my 20th anniversary year that we're in. Sometimes it seems like a lot longer, and sometimes it seems like it just happened yesterday. But the way I always think about it, we've known Golden Bird and Evaldi for about 11 years, a couple of months prior to that time that they became pagans, and I almost think about them as a generational shift. We're not that different in ages, but they came up somewhat later, you know, through life than us. You're, what, 10 years younger than we are? 8 years younger than we are?
Thereabouts, yeah.
Somewhere in that ballpark. But I think about the amount of experience and knowledge that's in this room right now, and I think about the average pagan on the street, persons reading books today, they've been studying it for a year or two. I don't think you get the benefit of this kind of compacted experience and knowledge very often. I know there are other shows out there that have an ensemble cast, and I respect what they're doing. But I just wanted to bring our ensemble cast together, and I know I'm explaining again why we're doing this show, but it's important to me. It matters. Question number two is, how did you get started? And I'm going to start on that one. My story is not that different than Oni's. As a child, I was interested in tarot cards and ghosts and all things occult and supernatural, while I was simultaneously scared to death of all such things. There was no time that I didn't believe it. I always believed those things were true. I always believed those things were real. But I was not studying them in any way. I bought my first deck of tarot cards when I was 12 or 13, and I rapidly became afraid of them. I thought they were possessed, and I asked people, how do I get rid of them? Should I bury them? Should I burn them? And every person I asked gave me a different answer and said, if you do what the last guy told you to do, that they would haunt you. So every single one was, they're going to get you no matter how you destroy them. So I ended up putting them in a sock drawer and trying to forget they existed. This is just where I have been, magic and the occult, my whole life. How I got started officially as a magic-using person, I did not use the term pagan for the first couple of years, is I met a guy named Steve who became my teacher in 1989 when I was in the military and I was living in Germany. I had seen him in the mess hall, the dining facility, once. We had had dinner, literally, and we just told terribly off-color jokes and very sexist stories. For one evening, I saw the guy 5 months later in Germany walking the hall of my dorm, and I said, I think I know that guy. I went over and I spoke to him, and I said, hey, Germany can be a hard adjustment. If you need any help, I'd love to talk to you. He promptly ignored me and acted as though he couldn't understand why I was talking to him at all, but I kept coming around his room, and I don't know why. I just kept saying, well, you know, how are you adjusting? What's happening with you? And one day he let it slip that he did spells or something. And I thought, oh, crackhead. Here's a nutter. But I didn't leave. I didn't stop talking to him. And when I didn't, he started saying things that were less inflammatory and more real, less designed to make me go away. Until one day he said, well, I guess you're going to be hanging around and we're going to be friends, huh? I said, I think that's going to be the plan. And then everything changed after that. He said, okay, well, let me tell you who I really am and what I really believe. And it went from there. My training began in magical studies and shamanism. I was not a pagan. I didn't know what the word pagan meant. I had never heard the word witch or Wiccan used in a modern context, other than in conjunction with Salem, Massachusetts, which I had visited some years before. And I knew there was a woman there who claimed to be a witch, but I didn't know what that meant, and I knew I wasn't a witch. I didn't wear black clothing and have a pointy hat, so I didn't think that had anything to do with me. And it went on from there. It was a year and a half of constant study and experience and trying things that led me into the path that I'm on now. But it's been a very winding road. But not to take any more time, I'm going to stop there on this part of the story and move on to the next person. Anyone?
Well, I'll take that up. I'll try to be as detailed but brief as possible. Growing up, both me and my sister were raised Methodist up until the time we were in elementary school years. But I think we both were pretty unhappy with that. And from all the sayings of our parents, we basically became incorrigible children in church, and they quit taking us.
I didn't realize that they wouldn't let you come anymore.
Yeah, I think they pretty much gave up on trying to make it work, just because I think we were both entirely unhappy with going, so...
The first coven I was in, Arrowwind was in also, and I remember her mentioning a story about how your grandmother would pay her if she would go to Absolutely. Church or to the Christian retreats, and I always got a chuckle out of that.
Yes, we had a very evangelical mother or grandmother who's since passed, God bless her, but yeah, and there were several instances with her that were more than either I or my parents could take. That's how bad it actually was. But
yeah.
Like many other pagans, I played a fair amount of Dungeons and Dragons in high school.
Oh, no, not the D&D!
Yes, I said it. And in fact, when the grandmother found out about that, she did everything in her power to put a stop to it. But that's another story. I wasn't very religious at all through high school. And strangely enough, during those D&D years, I did have a chance to meet a pagan, though at the time I didn't know or understand what that meant or what he believed. And it didn't really have much impact on me at the time. But not until I got into college did I start to examine or think about religious things beyond any kind of cursory level. I had some friends and I read some books that opened my eyes a little bit to other things. I was very interested in Buddhist teachings. But from a very atheistic perspective, mostly a philosophical understanding of Buddhism.
Like what I would call American Buddhism. Exactly. It's a way of thinking.
Right. And for a while after my first 2 years of college, I actually quit school and traveled and became very interested in religion and a lot of Hindu type of teachings, exploring more Buddhism. I wasn't still to the point where I could accept the idea of a personal God. An aspect of God that would actually have intimate and interested relations in our lives, in the course of our lives. But some things did happen later on, sort of at the time that I met my wife, some very challenging situations came up, and I was basically made to accept the fact that there is a divine force in my life, whether I wanted to believe it or not. And ever since that time, I've been unable to ignore the fact that God has an impact on my life. At the time, I didn't really know what kind of a face to put on it. I wanted to explore that aspect of my life and understand more of what God meant to me. But it wasn't until I was introduced to paganism that it really started to click and make sense to me in a way that was acceptable to me. Because I'd never really been comfortable with Christian teachings or with any of that sort of aspect of religion. It needed to make sense in a way for me that was both historical yet personal. And paganism really brought those things together for me.
Well, for me, I had been interested in Native American teachings, Eastern philosophies, and it was the message of interconnection with nature, our interconnection with nature, that really spoke to my heart. And after Cabildreda and Oni had introduced us to paganism, again, it was that message about paganism that really spoke to my heart.
I was just thinking back, and when we first met them and we had just stopped out, we were truck drivers at the time. We had a load that happened to be going not too far from where they lived. And Arrowind had asked us to go in, check in on her baby brother.
We had only recently become aware of a brother. We had known Arrowind. Oni had known Arrowind for a couple of years peripherally, but I had only known her for 6 months or so. We had done a Samhain ceremony that she was invited to and participated in. And she said, oh, by the way, I have a brother. And if you ever get near his house, wouldn't it be great if you stopped by and said hello? And I was quite surprised by the revelation that there was a brother that we didn't know about. More surprised that it turned out we did go very close to their house, something we had never done before, quite quickly after that conversation.
We called them, and they came over to our truck, and we talked for a little while. And
we went down to Shoney's.
Then we went to Shoney's and had
the infamous Shoney's.
A wonderful conversation about paganism and beliefs and
the nature of God and religion and faith, all of that stuff.
Some good ghost stories.
The woman a couple tables away that was eavesdropping and just like
actively listen. Her ear got bigger and bigger.
Yes.
And the rest of her table glaring at us. And it was a very wonderful time. And I feel very blessed that we've met you.
Absolutely. I feel the same way.
Yeah, I agree. I think our relationship, our friendship has been one of the most important relationships that we've ever had.
And I wanted to tie that into what I was saying earlier and what Oni just said about how we met. At that time, I was in what I would fairly term a dark place. And kind of had lost myself. And as I mentioned, you know, I'd been through some bad experiences. And it just seemed that in so many ways, meeting Kveldrida and Oni at that time really was a fortuitous event for me, because it kind of hammered home all of the things that I'd been wanting to find religiously in my life. And it brought a face to the forces that I knew existed and had been impacting me for a while. So I guess that's really kind of the crux of everything that's happened since then for me, because it's really the foundation that was laid, not just because of meeting you, but also because of the things that I was yearning for and needing at the time. So, I don't know, it's just kind of, for me, it's another example of how it seems in the times of our most dire need, you know, God or the ancestors or whomever is the force in our lives kind of steps in sometimes and presents us with a solution that we can move forward with.
At the very least, if you're willing to answer the knock at the door, right, they're going to present you with a solution.
Absolutely.
Something.
I mean, how you roll with that is another question, but, you know.
Rolling with the homies.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well, my next question was about childhood experiences. Oni and I have talked a little bit about our childhood, as has Ivaldi. Goldenberg, you've told me in the past about important childhood experiences. Do you want to share those?
Sure. Well, I grew up in a predominantly LDS community.
Latter-day Saints.
Yes. My folks were the best kind of people, but not religious in any way. One time I nearly let myself be talked into getting baptized in the LDS church, and my mom said to me that if that was truly my choice, I had her blessing, but she wanted me to make sure that I was making that choice because that's what I wanted, and not because it was something that all of my friends were doing. Thank you, Mom, for raising me as an independent thinker. But I really spent a lot of time outdoors, out in the mountains of the Southwest. And I felt that the mountains and the plants, the skies, the insects, all the critters were just these really great spiritual teachers if I was present in nature and just being aware of the lessons that were there. I felt very close to God during those times, and a really deep sense of peace. And the outdoors became my church, and that has always stuck with me.
Nice. Does anybody else have any childhood experiences they want to add to that before we go on?
Yeah, I would. My family is not particularly religious. My mother is Catholic, and my dad is of the opinion that to each his own, you just don't talk about it. It's between you and God. My great aunt Margaret, when I would spend weekends with her, we would go to a Catholic church where they still did Mass in Latin. And I just remember loving the, I don't know if I would call it the pageantry of it, but the solemnness, the incense, the trappings of it. I didn't understand a word they were saying, but I had pleasant associations with it because she was a devout Catholic, but she was not rude about it or pushy with it. It was just, this is how she was. It probably also helped that we'd always go to the bakery afterwards, but...
Baked goods help most things.
Cookies are a wonderful after-church experience. So for me, I had some pleasant happenings with the church when I was younger. And I got in trouble once for coloring Jesus blue. I thought blue was a good color for him. Evidently, the nuns disagreed.
This was pre-Smurfs?
Yes, pre-Smurfs.
Okay.
This was
you might have gotten off on a Smurf technicality on that one, but...
No.
Okay.
No, this is pre-Smurf.
That's right, you're old.
Yes, older than the hills.
Go on, please.
And we happened to be in church. The priest had asked if anybody had prayers for something, and I had stood up on the pew and I said that I had burned my finger on the oven and that I would like prayers for it. And then my mother promptly shushed me and dragged me back down to the sitting position.
The burning would be a trend that continues to this day, by the way.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
Okay, I have a question that a lot of listeners ask about at Ask Podcasters and other folks. Are you completely open or out, as it were, about your faith? And if you're not, whom do you choose to be out with and who are you closeted with? I'll go ahead and start. I am not closeted with anyone, but I'm not out to anyone. I would never go up to a person and say, hey, by the way, I'm a pagan. Any more than I would go up to someone and say, hey, by the way, I really like a lot of milk in my coffee. Who cares? If someone doesn't ask me, I feel no need to say anything. But when a conversation is happening between coworkers or other individuals that I am not close with, and they say, did you go to Easter Mass or did you whatever, I'll usually say, no, I didn't. I'm not a Christian. I believe in something else. I am religious, but I don't define myself to people for whom my definition makes no difference. My best friends know. All my best friends are pagans. One of my brothers is a pagan. My family know I'm pagan, but we don't talk about it because they don't care. They believe in you do what you do and I will do what I do. But I'm a very private person, despite the fact that I'm doing a show, that we're talking to possibly hundreds of you right now. I don't like to share details that people have no need or desire to know. So that has always been my policy on out. I'm not hiding anything from anyone, but I am not presenting it to anyone either. I don't feel any need to wear it as a badge or a necklace or a coat. So that's me.
I feel the same way. I don't hide my religious beliefs, but I don't broadcast them either. My spirituality is sacred to me, and it's an individual path. I share it with the people that I enjoy, appreciate. And how about you, Ruby?
Well, I think it's probably important that we should disclose that we do live in Utah, and it's obviously a very predominantly LDS makeup of the population.
That means very conservative, for those of you not very familiar with the LDS Church.
And it's one of the most Republican states in the Union. You know, not that politics is necessarily religion, but I guess to give you an idea of the environment, if you meet someone for the first time, or a coworker, one of the first things that you probably will be asked is, what ward do you belong to? And in the LDS Church, a ward is a section of a community that goes to a church at a specific time on Sunday.
They also live in, like, neighborhoods, like wards of a certain neighborhood will all
it's
live?
It's like a geographic designation.
Yeah, absolutely. They have what they call stakes, and then within each stake there's a ward.
And when people talk about church, they say the church.
Right, the church. As if there is no other church.
No other church, or the temple.
So, I mean, you might be able to understand from that, you know, even interacting where we live, there is just the presumption that you are a member of the church. And it makes it very difficult, especially if you work with a group of people that are predominantly LDS. The assumption is that you are just like them. I am not out with most of the people that I know. And whether you think that's a bad thing or a good thing, I don't know. I guess my personal view is I don't really care. I would rather preserve my beliefs and my privacy and not risk my well-being financially just because of where I live and who I interact with.
In contrast, I was asked by the public school that I work for to give a quick little blip on winter solstice at our school. And that was neat. I just presented it as an educational thing, and the kids really enjoyed it, learning the history behind it.
That's one of the positive things about a right. truly public school.
Right.
Is there's a recognition that you have differing people in that institution.
Right.
And where Oni and I, of course, do not live in Utah. We live in southwestern Washington. Although it is conservative, it is as libertarian as it is conservative. People actually don't want to know anything about you. They don't want you to know anything about them. They live and let live very much. We're only 2 hours from sinful Seattle, where anything goes, which is actually one of the reasons we moved here, because we love the truly diverse nature of that city. But we get along very well here because people shut their window shades at night, because people don't ask probing questions. There's no assumption that you are homogenous, so it simply never comes up. That's been fortunate for us, but we have no stake in the game. No one will fire us here for not being part of a group. No one will picket our house. It's irrelevant for the most part, but we do maintain our privacy simply because we like it.
I guess I would have to say I agree with everyone here, but I'm, I guess, a little bit different. I've been out with my parents pretty much ever since I became a pagan.
At least since we've been together.
Yeah, I came out to them when I was in the first group. I'm out at work. I was out when I was in the military, and I don't go around saying, hey, I'm a pagan, but if somebody asks me, like, a religious question, I'll answer them and I'll tell them.
This is like the show that we did Living Out Loud.
Right.
You're out in the sense that there is no secrets. You're not out in the sense that you carry a big protest sign saying, I'm a witch, deal with it.
Right.
Because there are some people in the pagan community who think out means in your face.
I feel that you can be out, and as stated in the previous podcast, but not make
Please
it...
Please refer to episode 6, 7? I don't know. Look it up.
But I don't consider it an issue.
Okay, moving on. This is a little bit of a complicated question. What has been your primary influence or influences in shaping your pagan faith? Since it's a complicated question, I'm not going to pick anyone to go first. I'm going to let some... Oh, I'm being picked. So, I'll be picking first. To tell you the truth, my experience and my own intuition and judgment are my primary influences. My teacher, Steve, was hugely important. Oni and I feel very strongly about this, by the way, so let me put a plug in right here. For all of you folks learning entirely from books and websites, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but we want to encourage you as strongly as possible, seek out other pagan friends, and if possible, a mentor. The human experience in religion and magic is immeasurably useful.
And I would like to put out a little comment about all those people who say, oh, I live in a small community. There are no other pagans here. We currently live in a smaller community, and there are at least 40 other people right in our local area that are pagan or pagan-friendly.
It is possible if you live in a town of 500 in Louisiana, there are no pagans there.
Okay, that's possible.
It does not mean it never happens. But in reality, the likelihood is 1% of any population anywhere is pagan or pagan-friendly.
Even in Utah, where we live, there is a pagan community. We live in a small college town, and there are active pagan campus groups, so, you know, it's not impossible.
Back to my primary influence. My teacher was so important to me for two reasons, because he taught me you should trust your gut and your own experience above anything else. anything anyone has ever said or ever written, period. And two, that very little that you learn in life is useful to you, nor can you truly understand it if you never test it or put it into practice. He taught me that you must be the teacher of yourself. Your experience is so vastly important. And it wasn't him. He actually did not teach me that much personally. What he taught me was how to think and how to judge my own experience and how to cultivate my own intuition. That has meant everything going forward. There is no book, there is no individual concept that I would call a primary influence. There's been many things I have found useful. Many, many things. But without that experiential understanding and that intuitive desire, I don't know how useful those things would have been to me.
I think having a teacher can also help clarify things better.
Maybe avoid some pitfalls.
Avoid some pitfalls. You have added perspective of someone else with more experience. There's always the caveat of finding a decent person, a decent teacher.
Certainly. But just because someone claims to be a mentor doesn't mean they're helpful or know what they're saying.
Right. At least in my experience, my initial teachers were morally gray, but I learned from that. For me, it's not as gray.
Okay, but steering things off our soapbox and back onto the question at hand, primary influences. Oni, go.
I would have to say Kveldrida has helped me some. Because
pay no mind to that. Move on.
And I'd have to say two of my spiritual teachers.
You mean spiritual mentors or people in spirit body?
People. Mentors. Because they provide guidance for me. And I can talk to them and ask them questions about my faith. Or not so much my faith, but how to do different things or what would be another way of looking at something.
Perspective.
Yes, perspective.
As well as functional things.
Yes.
Okay. Ivaldi?
Certainly early on, Kveldrida and Oni were primary motivators for us to explore and understand paganism. As well as what you mentioned earlier, Kveldrida, about intuition and discernment and understanding how to gauge and judge the things that are presented to you. For me personally, I think the single greatest impact on me was made by the Allfather Odin and by the helpers that he's presented to me throughout the years. Authors-wise, I think Dan Millman, Ted Andrews, those sorts of people have been a big help for me also in understanding the breadth of paganism and the parts of it that are important to me. I know Dan Millman's obviously not a pagan per se, but his philosophical perspectives were very helpful for me.
I think with Dan Millman, what helps is he teaches you how to be better with yourself, right. More accepting of yourself.
Personal development.
Yeah, personal development.
Right.
Right, he might get relegated to the self-help section of a bookstore, and that, for a lot of people, that's a reason not to read something. That is not what you're getting. You're getting actual, useful information about being comfortable with who you are, being the best person you can be, discerning what that is. It's not a cookie cutter definition of a good person or character. It's very personalized. I mean, we all are big fans of Dan Millman.
Right.
Eventually, I'll talk about that. There'll be a show about books that I felt were useful, but that'll be down the line.
Oh, and I would like to add that working with Briad, Karumnos, Napona, and the Orishas I work with, they're important.
I'll just add the same thing, personal experience. Putting the book down, it's great to have knowledge, but putting the book down and getting that true experience.
Right, because what may have worked for the author may not work for you. And that's something that I was taught in the First Coven, was just because it works for this person, that may not work for you. It's a matter of, in some ways, practical religion.
I agree, completely. Okay, big question, hard question, hopefully concise answer. How has your faith changed your life? I'll give you the concise two-sentence deal for me. In nearly every way, my life is entirely different. Aspects of my core self are the same, nearly every circumstance surrounding that core self and every attitude is different, by which I mean better.
I'd like to say that for me, religion and paganism in particular has changed me in, much as you said, in a very fundamental way. Most importantly, it's given me a sense of purpose and direction in my life that I don't believe I would have had otherwise. I mean, I think I would have always had that gnawing at me, wanting to have something more in my life. But paganism really is the face and essence of what that is for me now. And I can't imagine my life without it at all.
Me neither. I don't know what I would be doing. I don't know how. I don't know if I would be alive. And I'm not saying paganism was the only religion that could have made this transformation in a person, but it's the only one that made it in me.
Right.
I would agree. For me, I feel more in common with some of the evangelical religious people because I'm all about God. Goddess, God, however you want to put it, I feel that it can make such a difference in your life, and there's no way of explaining it till you experience it, because I could talk about it on how it has made my life different, but it's not the same until you experience it.
I can't imagine my life any other way. I feel like my path has always been leading to this, and it just seems so natural. My life just flowed this direction early on.
She had the one easy transition of the four of us in the room. For the rest of us, it was a lot more clawing and climbing and dead ends and such.
Thank you, Mom and Dad, again.
Okay, I'm going to skip a question or two on our list. I'm going to go into how would you describe your path or your faith, by which I mean each one of us in this room are worshiping different deities. We are doing it in slightly different and individualistic ways. I'm not asking about a label. I've called myself an eclectic heathen before, but that does not fully encompass who I am. I'm a shaman, an eclectic heathen. I have a mystery tradition under my belt. But as far as my faith, my path, I worship European gods, particularly from the Germanic pantheon, in a way that moves my life forward, that keeps me growing and changing and moving towards my values. Everything else is changeable. All other aspects, if I include this magical thing, or I don't do spells anymore because now I'm working with spirits predominantly, all of those things, they're not the goal. They're not what my path is about. They are the way I am accomplishing my goals. My goal is to be close to the gods. My goal is to be close to my ancestors and to become the person that they see me as and to understand what that person is. You can't get much more eclectic than that, but I don't know how you can get more real than that. That's the best way I can explain it.
Amen. It's all about being the best version of myself for me. I worship some European gods as well as a Sumerian deity and have a mystery religion under my belt as well.
For me, I guess I would call myself an eclectic also. Though I kind of shy away from terms like heathen or a satrar because I feel they're as limiting as they are defining. Odin has always been a part of my life since I've become a pagan. And I would say that is kind of the bread and butter of what I believe, Odin and all of his aspects. From a natural perspective, I also do a lot of prayer and dedication to Dana, or Danu as she's known in Celtic circles. The last 5 or 6 years, I've dedicated a large amount of my religious time to the dead and to the ancestors, and that's taken a huge portion of my consciousness, and that is really the way I prefer it. That's a large part of what I believe to be important in my life in particular. I've never been a ceremonial magic type person. I've only done that maybe a handful of times. Not that there's anything wrong with it at all. It's just not really who I am. I'm more of a seat of my pants kind of a person. I do a lot of more shamanistic, natural magic type of activities. So that's really where I'm coming at all this from.
Well, let's see. I worship, as I said earlier, I worship Briid. And I don't view her in the maiden mother crone aspects. I view her as, I guess it would be a more historically appropriate traditional thing where it's three sisters holding the same name, and there is one of smithcraft, one of healing, and motherhood. And I worship Krumnos. Epona has been a teacher goddess for me. She was with me very early on. I am also in another tradition where I worship different Orishas. Well,
we're good.
All right, well, we're running out of time here, so we're going to come down to one last question. We're going to get away from religion for just a minute. I know a pagan podcast, not talking about religion. Who's ever heard of such a thing? But we're going to try it. What are your general interests outside of religion? To be honest, I would have answered that question by saying I have none. I think religion, I breathe religion, I eat religion, berry cereal in the morning.
You do not.
I do, but only in my head. I don't actually do it all the time. I just think about it. But that's not actually true. I like sleeping. I used to like reading. I actually like reading if I don't have to do the work of it. I like learning new things, really. That is my favorite thing. I don't always find useful things to learn. I don't always find ways to make that knowledge productive. But I like learning for the act of learning. I like knowing about new things. I love history. I love stories about real people, biographies. There's an NPR program called This American Life. If you guys have not listened to it, check it out. It's very interesting. That's kind of where I'm coming from. I like people. Despite the fact that people get on my nerves a lot, I feel like I don't understand the culture we live in, and I don't understand why me, the most liberal person I know, seems like a wacko conservative compared to the rest of the population, but I really do focus on people a lot. It's what I think about and enjoy most.
I'm really interested in gardening. I just became a master gardener. Woohoo! Really excited about that.
You finished? The class is over? Everything's done?
Yeah, I'm official. And I'm also really into film. Good film. Independent film, foreign film. Just, I love it all.
Most of the time I spend when I'm not working or being a religious person is dedicated to music. I play several instruments. I'm currently involved in a band where we live, and I play the upright bass. And if we have the good luck and opportunity, maybe we'll get to play some of that for you later in the show, or maybe on another episode.
And it's awesome to hear you play the guitar.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I enjoy it all, so it's a nice outlet for pent-up emotions, and it's a good way to entertain friends and family, so I enjoy it.
Well, for me, I would have to say I enjoy all sorts of crafting, like sewing, crocheting, not so good at knitting.
Beadwork.
Editing podcasts.
She is the editor.
And
you know that. We've talked about it.
Belly dance.
Oh, yeah, belly dance.
Because I think it's a wonderful way of, one, exercising. It's, for me, moving meditation. Like some people would do Tai Chi, I like to belly dance.
It's connecting the body with the soul, the body with right. The mind.
And I think it's a lovely way of connecting to being more feminine.
And other people. You usually dance with other women.
Yes, other women. And we're of all ages, shapes, sizes. Everybody should belly dance.
I don't know if I'm going to be doing that myself, but it's a popular thing. It's a pagan thing. Well, I think that's all the time we're going to have today. The show's gone pretty long. I knew it would. Get four people in a room and talking goes on. It goes well past its normal time. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Next episode, I will go over my new email, anything else that's gone on. The next show will be coming out pretty quickly. I think we're going to have a busy spring for this show. I'd like to hit 15, 16 episodes by middle or end of July. That's coming up really quick. I want to remind you about the ghost show. I'm excited about doing this show. I really want to have your stories in it. I've got two really good stories, but I'd like a few more. If you've got the time, if you've got a minute, shoot me an email. I'd love to read your story. I might put spooky noises on the podcast now that I know how to do sound effects. Anyway, I want to thank y'all for tuning in, and I've really enjoyed doing this. I want to thank Oni, Golden Bird, and Ivaldi for coming in and sitting with me tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Bye.
And I'd like to just apologize that I get a little vehement on some things.
Vehement means passionate, and passionate's good. Okay, good night, everyone, and may the ancestors and gods always bless you and yours. Thank you.